problem accepting it. Everything that we receive from God, we receive in faith. That's everything. Everything that we receive from God, we receive in faith. Meaning that what we are seeing or what we are feeling or what we are thinking at the time may not be relevant. Once the gift is coming from God, you accept the gift in faith. And accepting it in faith means the whole package. Yes, Adam was knocked out before Eve was presented. Maybe if he was awake when they were bathing Eve, he would have objected, you know. It may have been painful for him. But he was knocked out. He woke up and he received the gift. Mommy said he smiled. That is how you receive any gift. And I'm going to digress a little bit. You know, you receive something. See this, come, you know, and then we receive certain things from people. We are thinking that this person should know what I need. And therefore give me something that is functional for me. No. He gave you what they feel like. God gave us what he feels like we need. What he knows that we need. So when he gives you your wife, you may not see the full potential of your wife at the outset. It will take time for the characters that mommy just talked about to appear. Now, as we go into the talk, we're going to learn how to deal with this so-called showing the character. I do not know how people hide their character. I think what happens is that you are so overwhelmed sometimes with your spouse, especially during your courting, that you're blinded to certain things. The character is always there. What happens is that you choose, and just like love is, you choose to love the person in spite of that character. That character becomes irritable to you later on only when you think it's affecting you. If you think about it, it's true. It's only when you think that this character now, I don't like it anymore is the answer. Because he's always been there. You chose not to acknowledge it. You chose not to believe it. You chose to ignore it. They say love is blind. It blinds you. I think there's something else that unblinds you. I think it's hunger, but I can't remember which one it is. I can't remember which one it is. So a gift is what is given willingly to someone without payment. And every gift that is given to you as a Christian comes from God. That's given to all of us. And because it comes from God, it's perfect and is good. In that sense, we should accept a wife or a spouse or a husband that's given to us by God in faith. Amen?
Praise the Lord. Okay, so a gift is gift, right? So if four of us we just talk about gifts, it's going to be too much. So I'll give Charity the mic to continue with the gift. So I'm going to use my 7 minutes with the real question because I have a lot there.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. So I wanted to read that passage so that we can see where God brought the gift. Because so that you agree that we're not making it up. He says, so the Lord God caused deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, this at last, that's what he said, this at last is the bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. I heard someone saying one time that woman is like, whoa, like, you know, the way he said, this at last is the bone of my bones, like woman, whoa, this is, you know, that excited. He was really excited. We saw it there. That a man, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined. And then we saw in all the scriptures where God really, he meant for this gift to comfort her, because you gave that background that he was alone, okay? And it wasn't okay. That was the only thing that wasn't okay. So he made this to comfort. So as we're talking, I want us to be thinking about my spouse. Think about your spouse. Like, God made this spouse to be a comfort, to complete all his creation, to make everything good. So then other scriptures you want to confirm that says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing. So again, God intends all of this to be good. And then he says, for I know the plans I have for you. So all of God's plan, they are perfect. So the spouse that's sitting next to you, and for those that are not married, be thinking all about this. There's a plan God has to complete all of us and comfort us. I think we saw it in Rachel when the Bible says that Rachel comforted her husband after the husband lost the mom, says, and he took Rachel to his home and Rachel comforted him. Again, all of these are all examples of what, but this cannot be really all the foundation you have already said. This perfectness God created cannot be achieved without the center. See how God is the rock. You run to him and you're safe. The first step already to achieving this comfort and achieving this is to accept, first of all, receive the gift. So when God brought Eve to Adam, Adam received. So when we don't receive our spouses, there are different ways we don't receive our spouses. And that's what we're going to explore when we go to the questions. Because the first success is to receive the gift and to show gratitude, right? And that's the foundation we want to create before we go to the question that, look, you will receive your spouse. Let your spouse know that you receive them. And let God know that you're grateful for this gift. And all of that will show through in the words, in the joy, in how you are grateful. But for us to receive our spouse, we can't do it on our own, basically. And God didn't intend for us to do it on our own. I want to read a scripture to show you that. You already went to that scripture. It says, and though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So here, in Ecclesiastes 4:9-12, I don't know if you can put it up there, but God was just saying two are better than one. They have reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift the fellow up. Again, that's why he created that second person. But woe to him who is alone, for he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm and alone? So, see, he was talking about two, right? But he knew that two can't keep it. Two cannot sustain this. Otherwise, he would leave it at two. But at that verse, he said, a threefold cord cannot be quickly broken. So who is this third person? The third person is Christ himself. So for everyone, especially the ones that are not even married, the instruction is very clear. It says, do not be unequally yoked. You can't do it on your own, basically. You're not enough. I don't know how else to put it. That, like, what is in me? I need Christ in me. Christ in me is the only hope for my glory. Like, I can will to be, I did this also before marriage. I said, oh, yeah, like, well, you know, whatever it takes, I'm willing to do it. I know, like, I was muscling all those things. It does. If that very thing fail is the reason you fail, because you already thought, oh, there's nothing I cannot handle, and then you see yourself not handling it, and then that breaks down because you fail woefully. But only as I embrace Christ, only that Christ is in me. Is, you know, as I was thinking about this at home, I saw an electric cable. I planned to bring it. I just left it on my table. But there was an electric cable that was cut off, right? It has several outlets of it. And I took it, and I put two together. what was left was one, right? I think it comes five. So like, okay, so I put the two or two together. One was standing, and that was the red one. And then the Spirit of God was just guiding me, like, when I wrapped all those cables around that one, and then I took another thing, tape, and then wrap them together. Do you know that this thing becomes like a rock, a pillar? And the Spirit of God was saying to me, look, this is what happens. And that thing is on my table right now. Rushing to church, I left it. But the point is, like, as we wrap ourselves individually around Jesus Christ, first we stand, we come together as saved, right? We wrap ourselves around God, around Jesus. And then he becomes the center. And we all, both of us, wrap ourselves around him. And the Spirit of God, he gave us his Spirit so that these things, the Spirit of God works them out. Like, you can't work out. It's the fruit of the Holy Spirit are the things that tie our being able to get there. Praise the Lord. So now we'll quickly go into the questions. Oh, no, it's okay. We'll go into the questions. Is that happy? Do you want to go first? Okay, then I'm going to read yours. What can be done as Christians to ameliorate? Okay, no, let's go with the first one. Okay. Marriage was invented by God. That's the first question. Marriage was invented by God to be enjoyed and not endured. And what God has put together, let none put asunder. Why is divorce rate in the increase? According to statistics, 15% of marriages will end up in divorce before the fifth anniversary. And these statistics, by the way, is not exclusive to the world. They found that in the church, but praise the Lord, that's not here in Jesus' name. So, thinking about our topic, please put down your questions or contributions as I give Dr. Uche this floor. Praise the Lord. Okay.
Praise the Lord. So, this topic or this question is not that glamorous, but we're going to discuss it anyway. So, we're going to talk about the common reasons for divorce. You know, occasionally people have problems, and all of a sudden, you realize that person is no longer responding. All of a sudden, the person is resentful. He says something, the person, So the communication is not flowing. We should always know that there's a problem. Something is happening. You know, there's always fight. People make up the fight, and that goes on. So eventually, the ripple effect is something will collapse. Something will give in. So the reason why I gave up my 7 minutes for introduction is I kind of researched extensively, and I have about 14 points. So that's why I decided to take 14 minutes and deal with each one. So I'm going to call them out first, and then I'll go over it if I have time. The first one in my list is infidelity. The second one is money. The third one is lack of communication. The fourth one is little or no premarital education and religious differences. The fifth is constant conflicts and arguments. Six, unrealistic expectations. Seven, lack of intimacy. Eight, lack of equality. Nine, lack of support from family and friends. Well, religious differences, I'll put it somewhere. 11, health problems. 12A, substance abuse. 12B, real abuse, physical abuse. 13, I saw weight gain. When I read it, it made sense to me, so I'll go over it. And the last one is not being prepared for marriage. So 14 points. I'll take one per minute. So when we talk about infidelity, which is extramarital affairs, you know, the funny thing is, it starts in a very subtle way. 1 minute, there's something somebody is doing somewhere, and we all have to be very careful. You see this person, you say hi to, and all of a sudden, at your place of work, you're saying hi 2 or 3 times. Then all of a sudden, do you want some gum? It goes from gum to, I brought some sandwiches. From one thing to the other, before you realize it, it becomes romantic. It's usually very subtle. So the problem here is all of a sudden somebody is cheating, somebody is lying. If you're supposed to finish leave work at 5, you are now telling them that, oh, there was this little thing I have to do till 5:30. And it goes that way. Unfortunately, when the spouse finds out, you know, most times there's that thing about you that, you know, really? And if it's not resolved, and resolving it means if you don't really get out of that mess, that marriage is going to collapse. Because that is one thing that people don't tolerate. No woman wants to share her husband with another woman and vice versa. And if you continue to stay in that relationship, it's going to break your marriage and it's going to lead you into trouble because at times they can fire you from that job and you're going to mess yourself up. So I'm just going to rush so that, you know. So money, I'm going to read the money one, because it is huge in our culture. I say that everything from different spending habits and financial goals to one spouse making considerably more money than the other, causing a power struggle, can strain a marriage to the breaking point. Money really touches everything. It impacts people's lives. Clearly, money and stress do seem to go hand in hand. For many couples, financial troubles play a very huge impact in a marriage. I say the money problems contributes to increased stress and tension within a relationship. Having conflicting money style, remember money style, can be detrimental to couples. If one person is a spender and another is a saver, tension can arise when trying to decide where your paychecks go. It's important to find a way to use different habits to complement each other. For instance, if the saver can be in charge of retirement planning, why the spender is responsible for short-term spending? So compulsive spending to suit your lifestyle is extremely dangerous. The desire to have money or spend money that you don't have to impress people you don't even know, to me, I think it's stupid. Lack of communication. Do we communicate a lot enough? But the issue is, even when you communicate, what are the things you talk about? You know, most times, good communication, remember I say good, is the foundation for strong marriage. You can communicate by yelling. It doesn't build anything. You can communicate by fighting. It doesn't help either. So poor communication leads to a lot of divorce, because at the end of the day, somebody has had it and that person decides to move on, because as far as the person is concerned, it's not working. They can't sit down to discuss the problem. And most yelling and fighting, people never finish that discussion. And if you don't finish the discussion, you keep throwing it under the carpet. Okay, I don't want any trouble for the sake of peace. No, there's no peace. Even you that say for the sake of peace, there's no peace. So the best thing is to fix that problem, because one day somebody is going to blow up and that will be the end of it. Little or no premarital education and religious differences. Well, unfortunately, we talk about counseling and, you know, the things we do and the people that have gone through our classes, at least we try to deal with few many things, you know, little things that can come up in a marriage. I mean, 3 to 6 months might not be enough, but we try to touch some things. But when I was reading this, somebody said that premarital counseling. It was helpful in communication, but it wasn't realistic about the growth of marriage. What it means is at every point in time, the marriage goes from one stage to the other. So they didn't get enough on how to solve those problems. So marriage has its own phases. Constant conflicts and arguments. From chores to children, the bickering and all those things, they do affect marriages. And as this continues, you know, it's just sometimes it can take a toll on the relationship. And one person might decide, listen, I don't want this anymore. And that's one of the problems. Unfortunately, you know, arguments must be resolved, no matter what it takes. When you resolve it, then you can move on. If you don't resolve it, be rest assured that there's going to be a time bomb that will happen. Something is going to happen eventually. Because when somebody has bottled it enough, it's just going to be a little thing that will trigger it. And you're like, what did I just say? What did I do? But it's something that has piled up for months and years. Now, unrealistic expectation. Some people just want something that they want. The expectation they put on another spouse is just too much. You want this person to be like this, to do this, to do this. None of us can change each other. But if you change yourself, your expectation, you know, you start seeing that person the right way. You know, so most times it's a problem when we expect so much from somebody. And if that person can't keep up, that marriage can collapse. Now, lack of intimacy. I don't know. There's so much going on. I don't think people most times kind of think that's different from marriage. It is a package. So there's no need for you to wear yourself down. You do 10, you know, things at the same time instead of attending to each other. After a while, you get numb to each other. And when there's no intimacy, honestly speaking, even the scripture said it, your body belongs to each other anyway. So why are you wearing your body off and giving another person reasons and excuses? So lack of intimacy, they lead to divorce. Now, lack of equality. Here, resentment always comes when somebody is saying, I'm this, I'm that. So for as far as our culture is concerned, I'm the man in this house. What I said is going to happen. So you don't want to see another person's point of view. Instead of sitting down to discuss something, another person say, I'm the one making the money, the woman. After all, I'm the one bringing money. So when everybody is kind of struggling for power, things are bound to collapse. This one I saw, and it was really interesting. It says, lack of support from family and friend. And I'm going to read it. This is a study that they did for 26 years. They said a husband having a close relationship with his wife's family decreased the rate of divorce by 20%. Hallelujah. So, men, if a family knows that you're taking care of their daughter in particular, honestly speaking, it helps you in that relationship. So I said here, in effect, as we maintain boundaries with our in-laws, we must remember to take care of our in-laws and treat them as important. So religious differences, I'm going to read it again, because some people said, what if I marry somebody that is not a Christian? What's going to happen? After all, this person wasn't a Christian when they married this person and they were able to convert the person. You're not going to convert anybody. It's only God that will help you. So you might as well don't. There's so much to deal with in a marriage. But if you're trying to go and convert somebody, marriage is tough enough. Spending that time trying to convert somebody to know the Christ that you know, it's going to throw you off. For, you know, I told somebody, I said, the person may decide to go to church with you one Sunday, two Sundays. Once you move in, Sundays, don't wake him up. In short, if you wake up and you're getting ready for church, the person may tell you you're disturbing, and then you won't go to church again. Okay. So stick, I have my
that time.
Health problem, you know, for one spouse can be detrimental to the marriage. So it's always good to plan together and at least let everybody know what is going on in the family on how to run the family. God forbid if anything happens, the other person will be able to cope instead of, you know, trying to scramble to see where is the bill, how much is our mortgage and everything. So it's always good for people to work together. So I spoke about substance abuse and I put alcohol because if I put substance abuse, some people say I don't do marijuana. So alcohol is a substance abuse. If you're somebody that is an alcoholic, before you realize it, you're going to lose your job, you lose your family because at the end of the day, he has his own problem and that can lead to physical abuse. Well, I don't know, I saw weight gain and I read it and it was really uncomfortable because sometimes spouses make each other to feel uncomfortable because they've gained weight, you know, and they become unattractive. So I decided to put it there so that we can all, you know, examine ourselves. And there's nothing wrong with really looking a little bit romantic every time because it helps. Everybody wants that. So the last one is not being prepared for marriage. Some people are not really prepared to get married. They just do it because it's age related, it's custom, everybody's the culture. My friends are getting married and they jump into it when they're not ready. So that's the
praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. Okay.
So please could you usher in or distribute the envelopes for Sunday school offering?
Praise the Lord. Okay, let me read this passage and as we go along, and then we'll go to the next thing. All the things that our sister said, thank God for going deep into it. I want us to read this passage so we see what God thinks about divorce, and then we'll put it into that in the next conversation. It says, Malachi 2:16. For the man who does not love his wife but divorces her says to the Lord God of Israel, covers his garment with violence. So guard yourselves in the spirit and do not be faithless. Remember that spirit of God that makes everything work together. That spirit of God is what is needed in every relationship so that all these things that has been read are very, very minimal and are not even there. So that's why the Spirit of God is at the center. Praise the Lord. And God hates divorce. And it's very, very important that we spend time letting us know how God thinks about divorce. He says that, I'm going to read that passage. He says, but you say, Malachi 2:14-15 says, because the Lord was witness between you and the wife of your youth, to whom you have been faithless, though she is your companion and your wife by covenant, did he not make them one with a portion of the Spirit in their union? And what was, okay, praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. All right, we want to open it because of time. We really want to open it up for people to contribute now. Questions and contributions.
Praise the Lord. Let us pray for the offering. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity you have given us today to give. We pray that those of us that are unable to give, Lord, that you provide them the necessary resources and that your gifts and what we are given today, Lord, will be used appropriately in your kingdom. For in Jesus' name we pray.
Waiting for questions and contributions, but while we wait for it, if you have it, please put your hands up.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to really again highlight strongly what Dr. Nwobu said about accepting your spouse by faith. I want to believe that, you know, we understand that God is our source, and like they said, all good gifts and perfect gifts come from Him. And if He said He has, He knows the plans that He has for you, and they are good plans to give you a future and a hope. It's by faith you accept the one that He gave to you, believing that He who knows you very well and knows what is best for you and understands that this is the one that is your really your better half. So you take it by faith. This is the one that my father gave to me because he knows what is fitted to my life. Because remember, he's the Alpha and the Omega, like our brother sang, you know, raised the song this morning. He knows all things. So you have to take that person by faith so that you don't have to begin to look at what you're seeing and how you're feeling, but my daddy gave me this. So, daddy, thank you, because all good gifts and perfect gifts are from you. And you know me. You love me so dearly. So this is the best person for me. Amen? Amen. And then, you know, the Bible said a faithful man who can find. That's what the Bible said in the book of Proverbs. So you better believe that that man that God gave to you, you know, God is very faithful. There is no faithful man, there's no faithful woman, but it is the Jesus that is in you that begins to walk out his faithful nature through you. So, and that's why you have to really take that man by faith, because you don't know who else is as faithful as that person, but God knows that that's the right person for you. And I also want to highlight on communication. It's so very important that when you begin to leave your spouse, let that person know things about you, you know, especially from the onset, communicate everything about your life so that if the person is accepting you, let the person accept you for who you are. And then the other thing is that when you now start living together, everything, I mean, like you're stepping out, honey, I'm going to so-and-so, and you know you won't be able to come back early. Honey, I'm not able, I want to do this and do that. Marriage is built on trust. Make yourself trustworthy, and it will so much bless your marriage. Don't make your spouse begin to have any form of suspicion. Don't give that opportunity to the devil. Otherwise, he's going to have a landing spot in your marriage. And once he begins to communicate and communicate in the heart of your spouse, because you're giving him the room, it becomes a stronghold. And it begins to become difficult for that your spouse to believe you. When you say something, you can say, okay. But in his or her heart, he's already putting two and two together, and the devil will even keep on giving him or her more reason why you are not believable. So remember, marriage is built on trust. And then it is important for us to really work together as spouses, like they talked about the chores in the family, especially what I see in this country, America. When I was in Nigeria, my husband would say, if you need more house help, I will get for you. He brought the first one, brought the second one, brought the third one, and said, do you want more? I'm going to get them, because you have people that needed help. All you have to do is pay their fees, their school fees, clothe them, feed them, and they are willing to come and help you. But over here, it is not so. And it can, you know, even medical science have found out that most diseases that people are suffering is from stress. So when your spouse is working, and you are working, and now you begin to have children, these are gifts from God, but that is a responsibility. So you must have to work together in unity to see how you can help each other with the children. When you come home, help, see where you can help. And also, I want to encourage us. You know, these are things you meet with your spouse. You discuss things together and see how these things can be helped. And when they, I know one thing about women, when they are very restful and you make yourself trustworthy. And, you know, their bodies become very pleasurable and they can give you every satisfaction that you need. It's very true. When they are very, you know, when they are rested and their mind is at rest, peaceful, they are more pleasurable in their body and they can give you the satisfaction that you need. It's so very important that we know these things. So please, let's work at, see, you know, women, it's already known that a woman takes care of the home. But then in this country, let's see how we can work things together to help each other. Amen? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. If you left your keys in the bathroom, they're up here. If you left a bunch of keys in the bathroom, they're up here.
Praise the Lord. Okay, so the mic is in the middle. Please, it must take 30 seconds. We don't even have 1 minute.
Please, one more thing that I forgot is keep your bodies clean for your spouse. Make sure you shower. If you need to shave this one, shave it. If you don't need to shave it, keep it clean. Wash it thoroughly. Brush your teeth. Brush your tongue. Keep these things clean. Wash your hair, your unders, underneath. Undies, wash them, wash your undies. I'm telling you, frankly speaking, your spouse can get near to you and do, anytime you're talking, he or she might be looking that way because there's a smell that is coming that is not comfortable. Probably when you started, you take time to get these things done. But now that he or she is now in the house, you think, well, and I've got him or her. And then you start relaxing in your taking care of yourself. It's so very, very important. Wash your clothes. Keep yourself clean. In other words, keep on pursuing each other the way you were doing before you got married. Take time and now do it best. They say every grass is green, but it's the one that keeps cutting and taking care of his own, it remains green. So that you don't have to begin to think, oh, it's not as green as the other person's own. No, remember, it's a perfect gift from the Father. Keep your bodies clean, your clothes clean, everything inside, outside for your spouse. Amen?
Praise the Lord. That was wonderful. Thank you, Pastor. So again, the mic is open. And this is a question we're throwing, that's a question that came up as we're talking about receiving ourselves, our spouses, accepting them. And then someone says, do I have to accept everything they do? So think about that, and then if you want to contribute along that line, come. You don't even need to lift your hand, just come to the mic if you want to. If you don't, we will keep talking until we see someone there. Praise the Lord. I want to give this mic to you to start talking about that question. And then people that come up. The question is, do I have to accept everything my spouse says?
Praise God. Remember, from the explanations we have given so far about receiving and accepting our spouse, we said accepting, biblical definition, means when you have accepted your spouse, that means you have accepted any responsibility that may come out of it. You have to shoulder it, no matter what comes, whether good or bad, with Christ being at the center of your marriage, that things can be worked out. Then when those problem or something starts coming up, why then do we complain? Initially, like in the Garden of Eden, when they were created, Adam and Eve, they were naked. There was communication. No problem was coming up until they sinned. They moved out of their source. Then it became obvious that they needed something to cover themselves. When couples get married, when they are courting, you find out that nothing will prevent you from relaxing your, nothing will relax your emotion. It's like two unlike poles attracting themselves until they get married. Once they get married and deviate from their source, problem starts coming up. When this problem comes up, it's only God who invented marriage that can take care of this. You go back to your source. Everybody, when you were courting, every one of us here that are married, this happened to us. We did not, the problems might be there, we will not see it. But once we come to get together, they start surfacing and we start complaining. Oh, I did not bargain for this. I did not see this coming. And then you start complaining. Let me give myself as an example. I hope my husband will not be. So, one of the things that attracted me to my husband was the way he talks. You know, I was very much impressed. He can articulate myself. I don't have that gift of articulating like he does. So I said, oh, wow, this man can articulate. So I married him. But do you know this very thing that attracted me to him, once we got married, became an issue once we got married. He will come and he will complain. He say, oh, you did not introduce me to your friends. Oh, you feel ashamed that I introducing me to your friends. I said, yes, I feel ashamed because once I introduce you, you take over now and then I'll be left over. You know, I tried. It became a big problem. It was an issue in the house. I tried. The more I complained, the more it got worse. But when I started praying, I said, God, what am I going to do? Lord, what am I going to do? See, sometimes that issue, God may not remove it completely. God may not remove it. The issue may be there, but you begin to accept it because God has changed your mind. He has renewed your mind. Now my husband talks. I am so happy. I say, he comes home. I said, how did you take care of them? I hope you have mesmerized them there with their talk. You know, but initially this was a problem. It was a big problem. Every one of us. So some of you, are you not going to contribute? You are all looking at me. At any point you want to make your contribution, come up here and you'll be allowed to make your own contribution.
I think it's important that we accept our differences. It's very, very important. You cannot be the same as your spouse. God made it that. Those differences is what will make you strong. When you have a team, the essence of a team is that the different opinions will be harnessed for a better outcome. So we shouldn't try to be everything that our spouses are. But you build a level of trust where there is a difference, you arrive at a better understanding.
Praise the Lord. Next, please. Make it brief. Please make it brief.
Yeah. Praise the Lord. Like the young man before me, your differences are supposed to strengthen you. You see, mommy, you being a player hater. Your husband is on point. He's a big boy. Yes. Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I love him. He's a big man. And those things are gifts. Nobody can take it away from you. If you ain't got it, pray for the Lord to give it to you. Amen? Thanks. Now, the point I'm trying to make is, you guys, we are talking about differences. Are you talking spiritually, principally, or ideologically? Yeah. No, they cannot be all together. Let me move on. You and your spouse can disagree ideologically or principally and still be together spiritually. Make sense? Because spiritually, the things that bind you together are way above and beyond the things you argue about ideologically and or principally. Make sense? We are lumping apples and oranges. So we need to be distinct and separated so we make sense out of this. Because I disagree with my wife principally does not mean I should fight her spiritually. Do you want me to expand?
Thank you. Give it up for Eddie.
No, I don't. I don't know
it's
if I'm making sense.
It's fine. We don't have the time for explanation.
You want to blow me up? Don't do that.
Okay, do quickly.
Don't do that.
We don't have this.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. So it's important. Now, if I disagree with you principally, spiritually, we are one. Because I argued about you saying something is green, I say it's blue. Does not mean it's going to affect what we are doing spiritually. And it comes from our tradition. We cannot separate the idea from the gist of the matter or the person from the gist of the matter. And it affects what we do spiritually. Disagreeing ideologically does not mean we should disagree spiritually. We are one. If I said something is red and you say it's blue, does that mean when we go to bed you won't give me some? I'm just asking, folks. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
You're blowing me off. I don't like that. May God bless you.
All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much. All the contributions are great. Another question we want to put in the mix so you come is, knowing everything we talked about, I say 2 minutes. Okay, praise the Lord. We're done basically. So, according to what she has said, we are not going to change our spouse. We change ourselves, and when we show to our spouses that we accept them, we love them, and those things, God changes how they irritate us if we make up our mind to be changed. Okay.
Amen. So, you know, just for conclusion, thank you very much for all your participation. You know, there's two things here, you know, in Ephesians 5, 10 and 17, two things. It's carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Okay? And 17 says, don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. So this third person in the court is whom we are aiming to please. Because if he pleases what Christ has prescribed, believe you me, it will please your spouse. Amen?
There's an above all in the word of God. That above all says, above all, put on love. So love is what is above everything we have done. Praise the Lord.
Awesome.